Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
I want to share with you one of my favorite scriptures. This scripture is loaded with hope. Today, the title of my message is A Living Hope. A Living Hope. We sang a song earlier called A Living Hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. So before we read, let me tell you about who wrote it. A man named Peter, who was a disciple. He was a follower of Jesus. We're going to talk about his life. But here's what he writes when he considers Jesus. He says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into," say the words with me, "a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." What a promise. What a verse. Now, you might still be writing, that's fine. But if not, by a show of hands, how many here would say, "I could use a little more hope"? Come on, probably all of us. I could use a little more hope. And the reason why we say that is because hope often fades. Hope often dies. We look for hope in the world around us. Come on, you've been there. You thought this was the job. This was the relationship. This was the vacation. This was the experience. This was the new financial plateau. And you got there and it was good, and then it faded. Hope fades. Hope dies. Who's ever had this experience like me? At the end of a long day, you finally get the kids to bed. It took about 30 hours, but you did it. And you're ready to relax, and you go to the freezer for ice cream, and there's the ice cream container, and you pull it out, and you know the last person in this container left not even a spoonful. Hope gone. What's the point? And then you remember, that person was me. And I was supposed to get more ice cream. And you get in your car and you drive out, because it doesn't even matter. Come on, so many times in life, we go through life expecting and hoping and being hope-filled only to have hope lost. This will do it. This will satisfy me. This will give me purpose. This will give me reason. And today, I want to take these minutes to simply say to every one of us, because I need this message, there is a living hope, and his name is Jesus. And he's gone through the grave to show you and I that not even death could stop the hope that's found in Jesus. So if you're ready for living hope, say, "I'm ready." We're gonna read about it. I wanna share with you a moment that takes place on the beach. You know it's a good moment on the beach. How many have heard of the Last Supper? You ever heard that phrase, the Last Supper? On Friday here, we had a Good Friday service. We talked about the Last Supper. Well, I wanna talk to you today about the last breakfast. Because breakfast food is the best food of all foods. Can I get a good amen? You can eat it anytime and nobody judges you. I ordered carrot cake pancakes. That is a dessert, my friends. And nobody cared. Acceptable as breakfast food. I love breakfast. And I want to show you that Jesus has a moment on the beach with some breakfast, and a miracle happens. In fact, not just one, but two miracles happen. And I believe that the real miracle, the second miracle in the story, is available to you and I today. If you're ready, Sam, ready? Here we go. John chapter 21. Afterward, after what? After his death, after his burial. He's already died. He's already been buried. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. What's the problem with the verse? Dead people don't appear to people. That's the problem. So already, this story should cause us to pause and say, wait, I thought he died. What is he doing appearing to others? The next verse says, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana, Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. These guys are hanging out, the disciples of Jesus. And Peter says this, I'm going out to fish. I'm going out fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Do you know what we call that? Call that my fishing story. I go out, I catch nothing. You tell me, PK, I'll take you out fishing, we will catch something. Okay, fine, I'll do it. And then at the end of the day, you say to me, PK, I always catch something, I promise. I'm not bringing you anymore. It must be you. And for these guys, they go out fishing all night and they catch nothing. And what's so unique about these guys is before they started following Jesus, this is what they did. They fished. It was their trade, their occupation. They have some knowledge and skill in this area. So I look at this and I say, okay, 3 years prior, these guys were fishermen and Jesus invites them to follow him. They do it, but then he dies. So what do? Well, when hope is gone here, I'll just go back to what I know and see if I can get some resurrection hope in that place. But they caught nothing. And then we read verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Do you know why the disciples don't realize it's Jesus? Because he died. Again, I just want you to understand this. If you think, oh, of course they believed in a resurrection. We are smarter now. We're 2,000 years enlightened now. They didn't just accept him resurrected. In fact, if you've got a lot of questions, which you should, about the resurrection, you have more questions than I have time to answer this morning. So we want to give you a book that's in the back of the room called The Case for Easter. That's yours. Take a copy and read it. But I just want you to see in this one verse, they're not thinking, oh, out of all the people, it's got to be Jesus. They're saying, out of all the people, it can't be Jesus because he died. And then Jesus does what Jesus does. He has fun. I just think that Jesus likes to have fun. Evidence, verse 5. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And I'm like, Jesus, if you know everything, why are you throwing shade on these guys right now? You know they don't have fish. Leave them alone. They're tired. They're sad. They don't have hope. They've been fishing all night and they got no fish. You guys don't got no fish? No. And then, don't miss this. This is the coolest thing. 3 years ago from this moment, the disciples were in the same position. This is so cool. They were out fishing one night and they caught nothing. And Jesus shows up on the shore 3 years ago from this time and says the same thing. Don't you have any fish? They go, no, we've been trying all night. He says, okay, why don't you try one more time? He's repeating this moment 3 years late. Watch this. He said, verse 6, throw your net on the right side. Everyone say the right side. The right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. What is different between the left side of the boat and the right side of the boat? Maybe 7.5 feet. And the answer is nothing. The difference is the presence of the resurrected king. And when he says something, it happens. A miracle is on the way. So he goes, all right, try again. But just move a few feet that way and try it. And suddenly their nets are filled. Again, don't miss this. 3 years prior, the same miracle happened. He told them, try again, and the fish filled the nets. I believe he's reminding them, I'm still your hope. I'm still your hope. I know it's been a few years. Let me talk to you. I know it's been a few years of this problem, of this issue. I know you've been looking for hope. And Jesus is saying today, I'm still your hope. I'm still your hope. I've gone through death and the grave to remind you, I'm still your hope. Now look at this. Then the disciple who Jesus loved, many think that's John, the one who's writing about this account. The disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. Peter is very excited at the possibility that this is Jesus. Let me give you a little bit of his story. Peter, not even a couple weeks prior to this moment, at the Last Supper, that night, Peter says, I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll never abandon you. I will die if I have to be with you. Okay, Peter. Hours later, Peter is standing by a fire in a courtyard while Jesus is being tried, questioned, and people ask Peter, are you one of his followers? And three times over, he says, I'm not. He denies him three times. In fact, one of the gospel writers tells us that Peter and Jesus make eyes from the courtyard to where he was, and Peter begins weeping at his denial of Jesus. So imagine all that emotion in him. Maybe guilt, maybe shame. The last big memory he has is him denying Jesus. And now John goes, it's the Lord. And so Peter jumps in the water and begins swimming towards him. The next verse says the other disciples followed in the boat. Why? Because they're smarter. It's just my thought. Bro, we're gonna get there anyway. Now you're wet. Okay. They're only 100 yards off. It's a football field. We're good. We're gonna make it. But Peter, in his excitement and in his joy and his maybe his worry, what is Jesus gonna think? He goes, I'm going in. I'm going in. And when they landed, look at this verse, I love it. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. How cool is this? They get to the shore and Jesus already has the fire going. He's already got the fish cooking and he's got the bread. He's the host. He's already set the table. He's already prepared what they needed, and they arrive. Now, I got to point something out here. Lean in. The original language to the New Testament is Greek. So as we translate it now into modern languages, in this case, English, translators do their best to preserve the original words in the Greek language, also to help it make sense for us. So when the translators get to fire, the Greek word, it's not simply fire, it is specific, which is why it's translated as a fire of burning coals. This is cool. There's only two times in the New Testament where this type of fire, fire of burning coals, is used. It's here on the beach, and it's to describe the fire that Peter stood at where he denied Jesus three times. Jesus intentionally is recreating a moment of brokenness so he can bring healing and restoration. He could have built a fire out of wood. He could have lit the black stone. Maybe not that, but he could have made any fire he wanted. And he intentionally chooses a coal burning fire. And I think that's because Jesus understands what you and I most need so that he can meet us in the place of need and show us, I'm actually who you most need. You need my grace. You need my forgiveness. You need my love. You need a living hope, and I'm here for you today. He meets Peter there. And Peter gets there with Jesus as the host, the one who's prepared the table. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Come on, I got fish, I got bread, but you bring some of yours. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and he dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. Now, do you know what's significant about that number? Me neither. But even with, just making sure you're with me, okay? But even with so many, not everything's deep, my brother. It's just the number. I'm going to use that number. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Come on, they counted these fish. They counted the fish. It's 153 of them. And the net's not torn. And then hear the words of Jesus, because they're for us today. Come and have breakfast. Oh, that is a beautiful invitation. Come and have breakfast. In other words, come be with me. Come and have a relationship with me. Come get around this fire where you once denied me and instead be with me. Are you hearing the invitation? Because it's for you and I today. There's nothing that you could be doing or have done that is going to stop the invitation of Jesus for you to come. He loves you. He's got a good plan for you. He died for you. And I like this part. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Come on, they got to be elbowing each other, maybe whispering a little. Peter, ask him. I'm in enough trouble. I'm not asking him. I'm just going to go with it's him, okay? I'm going to leave it at that. I just know. Yeah, but he died. I know, but still, I just know. And look at this. He's recreating miracles. Watch this. Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them and he did the same with the fish. Well, when did he do that before? Feeding of the multitude. He's trying to remind them and us, it's not dead because I have resurrection power. I bring dead things back to life. So that miracle wasn't just then. I'm showing you I'm still able to do it. I died, but I'm back. And that's our hope today. In fact, look at this. Here is a significant number. This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. 3 days in the grave, 3 appearances. Peter's 3 denials. And then we get to a conversation between Jesus and Peter. It says in verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, there it is again. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Say the third time. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. The third time. Jesus did not hurry the process of restoration. Notice Jesus' questions are relational, not behavioral. He doesn't say, Simon Peter, do you know what you did? Do you remember your behavior? Do you promise not to do it again? Do you know where we hear that? In religion. Just pray enough prayers to cover your own sins and God will accept you. Just give enough money and maybe it'll come back to you. Just love enough people and then God might start loving you. Jesus doesn't start with behavior questions. He starts with relationship questions. Do you love me? And he can ask that because he knows, I love you, Peter. I haven't given up. I'm not stopping. I'm back from the dead just to show you how strong I am and how much I love you. Hear this, gospel surgery, it's free, but it's not always easy. When God wants to do a work in our hearts, it's a free work of his grace, but I'm telling you, it hurts at times. Peter's hurt on the third time. Peter's like, man, you're asking me this again. Can't we move past this? No, not yet. I want to restore you. I want to save you. I want you to know you're loved. I want you to know I have a purpose for your life. I hope you're understanding this is for you today. God wants to do a gospel surgery work in each one of us. He loves you. He loves you enough to not give up on you. You are his. And then Jesus says something that feels a little off. Like, what does this have to do with that? Look at the next verse. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. It's a little weird. Okay, we're eating fish. We're talking about sheep. I love you. And by the way, you're going to get so old you can't even put your own shirt on. Okay, why are we talking about this? And watch this, it says next, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, two words, say it with me. Follow me. Let's say it again all together. Ready? One, two, three.
Follow me.
What I believe Jesus is doing for Peter in this moment is he's reminding him, even your body has an expiration date. Mine doesn't, yours does. If you put hope in you, understand, inevitably, you will die. But by following me, the one who conquered death, I can give you a living hope, and there is a resurrection coming. Put your hope in me. Follow me. Just follow me. He's just keeping it real. Keeping it 100. He's just trying to tell him, this is reality, Peter. So in the meantime, follow me. Let me speak to those of you who you're anticipating many decades ahead. You're younger. The best thing you can do is follow Jesus. For those of you that say, I've got more decades behind me than in front of me, the best thing you can do is follow Jesus. The best thing we can do is, say it with me, follow Jesus. Why am I going to put my hope in myself, in a job, in anything else that has an expiration date when he already showed I don't expire? I've conquered the grave. Well, maybe like Peter, you and I get distracted because it only takes a verse, a few seconds for Peter to lose his focus. Look at this. Peter turned. Never a good idea. He turned. Do you know how we turn? We scroll. We look elsewhere. We compare. We try to find hope somewhere else. He turned and he saw the disciple who Jesus loved was following them. So I just like to picture how the Bible is telling it happened. Maybe Jesus and Peter are doing a stroll down the beach and they're talking, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Okay, when you get old, you can't put your shirt on. That's weird. Follow me. Also, this guy's following us. And when Peter saw him, he asked, verse 21, Lord, what about him? He gonna get old too? How's he going down? What's up with him? And look at this. Jesus grabs him by the face. Focus, bro. Focus. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must say it together, follow me. Can I encourage you and urge you today? Get your eyes off of the world around you and put them on Jesus. Stop looking at others. Stop worrying about them. Stop and put your eyes on Jesus because he's got the best plan for your life, because he loves you and he cares enough about you to say, my command is easy. Two words, follow me. Follow me. So here's the question for you on this Easter. Are you following him? Are you keeping in step with the one who came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay for your sins, rose from the dead so that you might follow him? I want to read to you again the verse we started with, because I noticed when I was reading it, you guys were all writing. I don't know who told you to do that, but that's a little rude. I was sharing something. Let's read it again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God, our Father, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he He's given us, now look at the words, now that you have the story and the picture. Oh, he's given us a new birth. Oh, I'm not the same person that I was. I don't have the same values. I don't live the same way. I've got a new birth. What is that? It's into a living hope. The hope that I have is in Jesus. How do I have a living hope? Through the resurrection. If Jesus dies and stays dead, do you know what we have? A dying hope. But we don't have that. We have a living hope because he's alive. And we get an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and it's kept in heaven, which means it don't matter what the market does, my inheritance ain't getting messed with. It's kept for me in heaven. Do you have that hope? Have you said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. I don't know where it'll take me, but if you're there, I'm going. So I want you now to take out this card again. Worship team's gonna join me. We're gonna sing a song in just a couple minutes. But I want you to have this card in your hand. Everybody take it out. You already started writing it. Now take it out. We're gonna talk about the ABCD. All right? Grab your card, grab your card, grab your card. If you came in and you didn't get a card, give a wave. We will make sure that you have a card. I wanna share with you what these letters stand for. And I believe that every person in this room lands somewhere on this. So let me read them first, and then we're gonna have a moment of response. The A is for you if you would say, I'm already following Jesus. I'm already following him. Today, Easter Sunday, you've come out, you're hearing of the King, and I encourage you, like Jesus said to Peter, just keep following me. Just keep following. I'm already following him. Now, I love this next letter. This is the one I believe we're getting so many of these throughout all these services, the B. The B stands for this: I'm beginning my relationship with Jesus. I'm ready to follow him. Doesn't mean you have all the answers. Doesn't mean you understand everything. What it means is your heart is being stirred throughout this service for you to say, I'm gonna begin to follow Jesus. I'm so excited for those of you where that's where you're checking off. We're gonna celebrate with you specifically in a couple minutes. The C is this: I wanna consider following Jesus. I'm just not ready yet. That's where you are today. You're here at church and you're saying this was nice, but I'll consider it, but I'm not gonna start that yet. A few more questions, a few more weeks. Great. Glad that you are here to start considering. And then the D is simply, I don't ever intend on following Jesus. Just not where I'm gonna land. Christian thing is just not for me. But again, thank you for having me in this church today. So A, I'm already following. B, I'm beginning today. Like, this is the day you're saying, I don't know everything, but man, I'm giving him my life today. We're gonna help you. C, I wanna consider following him, like somebody maybe to connect with me about what this really means. And D, I just don't ever intend on it. So now with that, every person, I'm asking every person, it helps us as we pray through Easter services. Where are you on that? Check it off. I'm gonna pray for you as you continue to write, fill out the card. And then we're gonna do something before we head out. So God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for how you move and you move again. I thank you for miracles. I believe another one's on the way right now for people in this room. I thank you that your son was willing to come and die and experience the pain of sin in his body, in his soul, be buried. And I thank you for your spirit that caused him to rise again. He is the resurrected King, and we have a living hope. So today we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet? Hold your card. And I want to speak specifically to those who checked off B. B, I'm beginning my relationship with Jesus. We're going to pray right now as a church, a collective of people. Because scripture tells us if we declare with our mouth and believe in our heart, God raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. It's a promise. And if you checked off B, you're saying, I'm beginning today. As we pray, I invite you to join in this prayer as we call on his name. Would you say this with me? Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today I give you mine. I'm following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All of heaven is celebrating right now as you're putting your faith in Jesus. We say, welcome, welcome. Here's what I want you to do, okay? If you checked off B, it's very important. Who's serving at the Connect table? Can you come in real quick? I think we got Drew back there. Come on, Drew. Everybody look at Drew right now. Let's go, Drew. Drew wants to meet you if you checked off B. He wants to put this in your hand. What's your next step? So if you checked off B, make sure you give him your card so he can give you this book. If you're a first-time guest today and on the front side you said, my first time here, Drew wants to meet you. He wants to give you a special gift for being a first-time guest here, okay? Make sense? Thanks, Drew. We'll be out in a couple minutes to see you, man. For everybody else, you checked off A, C, or D, you're updating your information, do me a favor, drop these in the giving boxes. They're located in the door, the exit door right in the back. Before you go, just drop them there. There's an envelope if you want to put it in there or not. And we want to hear from you. We want to pray with you, all right? You can put your card down because we're going to sing one more song. We're going to celebrate. We're going to clap our hands to King Jesus. Because how many know he is alive, he is risen, and it changes everything. And when you see what I see, when you see what the disciples see, when you realize that Jesus didn't stay dead, but that he's alive, you start to get a joy in your heart beyond understanding. And so I'm going to ask you one more time, would you clap for King Jesus?